What it means to be a sloth, chapter 2, limbs and muscles. The sloth's ability to hang from and cling to branches for hours on end is related to its whole anatomy and physiology. The sloth is about the size of a large domestic cat. It has very long limbs, especially the forelimbs. See figure 1. When hanging, the sloth's body appears to be almost an appendage to the limbs. Feet and toes are hidden in the fur. Only the long, curved, and pointed claws emerge from the fur. The toe bones are not separately movable, being bound together by ligaments so that the claws form one functional whole, best described as a hook. The two different genera of sloths are named according to the number of claws they possess. The three-toed sloth, Bradypus, has 3 claws on each limb. The two-toed sloth, Coloepus, has 2 claws on the forelimb and 3 on the hind limb. There are many differences in detail between these two groups of sloths. Most of the specific information referred to in this essay pertains to the three-toed sloth, unless otherwise indicated. With its long limbs, the sloth can embrace a thick branch or trunk, while the claws dig into the bark. But the sloth can also hang just by its claws on smaller branches, its body suspended in the air. A sloth can cling so tenaciously to a branch that researchers resort to sawing off the branch to bring the creature down from the trees. All body movements, or the holding of a given posture, are made possible by muscles which are rooted in the bones. Muscles work by means of contraction. While clinging, for example, some muscles in the limbs, the retractor muscles, are contracted. Think of your biceps. While other muscles, the extensor muscles, are relaxed. Think of your triceps. When a limb is extended, when the sloth reaches out to a branch, the extensor muscles contract, while the retractor muscles relax. All movement involves a rhythmical interplay between retractor and extensor muscles. It is revealing that most of a sloth's skeletal musculature is made up of retractor muscles. These are the muscles of the extremities that allow an animal to hold and cling to things, and also to pull things toward it. The extensor muscles are smaller and fewer in number. In fact, significant extensor muscles in other mammals are modified in the sloth and serve as retractor muscles. A sloth can thus hold its hanging body for long periods. It can even clasp a vertical trunk with only the hind limbs and lean over backward 90 degrees with freed forelimbs. As the sloth expert M. Goffert puts it, in humans this feat is exceptional enough to be shown in a circus. At home, as it is in the trees, the sloth is virtually helpless on the ground. Lacking necessary extensor muscles and stability in its joints, a sloth on the ground can hardly support its weight with its limbs. Researchers know little about natural terrestrial movement of sloths, but on rough surfaces, captive sloths have been observed slowly crawling. If they are placed on a smooth surface like concrete, their limbs splay to the side. In this position, a sloth can only drag its body by finding a hold with the claws of its forelimbs and pulling itself forward, using its strong retractor muscles. Since the sloth's main limb movements involve pulling and the limbs do not carry the body weight, it is truly a four-armed and not a four-legged mammal. The hands and feet are essentially a continuation of the long limb bones, ending in the elongated claws, and do not develop as independent, agile organs as they do, say, in monkeys. We can also understand the dominance of the retractor muscles from this point of view. The human being, in contrast to most mammals, has arms as well as weight-bearing legs. The arms are dominated by retractor muscles, while the legs have more extensor muscles. Moreover, The arm muscles that move the arm toward the body are stronger than the antagonistic arm muscles that move the arms away from the body. This comparison shows us that the tendency inherent in the arm, the limb that does not carry the body's weight, permeates the anatomy of the sloth. A sloth becomes quite agile if the forces of gravity are reduced, as in water. In water, a body loses as much weight as the weight of the volume of water it displaces, according to Archimedes' law. The body becomes buoyant, and in the case of the sloth, virtually weightless. Remarkably, sloths are facile swimmers. They manage to move across water with little apparent effort. Where the forest canopy is interrupted by a river or lake, sloths often paddle to new feeding grounds. With no heavy mass to weigh them down, they float on their buoyant, oversized stomachs. With its long forelimbs, the sloth pulls its way through the water, not speedily, but in a beautifully easygoing manner. On the whole, sloths have little muscle tissue. Muscles make up 40 to 45% of the total body weight of most mammals, but only 25 to 30% in sloths. One can understand how the reduction of weight in water allows them to be less encumbered in movement. Sloth muscles also react sluggishly, the fastest muscles contracting 4 to 6 times more slowly than comparable ones in a cat. In contrast, however, a sloth can keep its muscles contracted 6 times longer than a rabbit. Such anatomical and physiological details reflect the sloth's whole way of being, steadfastly clinging in a given position, only gradually changing its state. The tendency to the reduction of muscle tissue can also be found in the head. There is a reduction in the number and complexity of facial muscles. Through the facial markings, the sloth has an expressive face, but this is the expression of a fixed image, rather than expression through movement, since the facial area itself is relatively immobile. The outer ears are tiny and are essentially stationary. The sloth alters the direction of its gaze by moving its head, not its eyeballs. This rather fixed countenance is dissolved at the lips and nostrils, which, as the primary gateways to perceiving and taking in food, are quite mobile.